Deal will start in just a moment, but Elisa and I wanted to tell you about something we're really excited about.
One of the top requests we get every month is to do a show about eating the superhuman way on a budget. So many people say it's just impossible, but now we have the answer.
We can now tell you to shop at ThriveMarket.com for all your favorite products, whether it's organic, paleo, raw, vegan, non-GMO, or any other natural products, you'll find them all at ThriveMarket.com.
ThriveMarket.com has over 3,000 healthy products at 25 to 50% off retail. Go to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio and get 2 months free membership and 15% off your first order.
Take advantage of this outstanding offer. Thanks to ThriveMarket.com, eating like a superhuman has never been cheaper.
Less expensive.
Cheaper.
Carl, it's less expensive.
Okay, less expensive. Get over to ThriveMarket.com/SuperhumanRadio today and start saving big time. Never pay retail again.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. It's a new week and it's Monday and we're starting the show, the week off, with some important topics. First of all, during the first half hour, we're going to be talking to Lucas Bondurant. We're going to talk about a recent paper that's published that shows a hormone, actually possibly a protein-based hormone, I'm not sure if that's what it's considered, that's produced by the liver that actually regulates your desire to eat sweets. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get that under control? Then in light of the passing of David Bowie yesterday, Brooks Cubic is going to join us for the second half hour to talk about the state of cancer treatment today in the United States especially. And then after that, Andrew Scarborough, the man who cured his own brain tumor, who's been on the show several times, is going to talk about metabolic therapies that are actually very effective now in cancer treatment. Of course, we'll be talking about the ketogenic diet, I'm sure, as well. So let's get started. Lucas Bondurant, welcome to the show.
Hi, Carl. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. You are with the University of Iowa, right?
Right. I just joined the University of Iowa about a little over a year ago.
So talk about this research. First of all, what questions were you trying to answer? What led you to this point where you wanted to do this study?
So we actually kind of just stumbled onto this interesting question of whether fibroblast growth factor 21 or FGF21, whether or not it could affect your eating habits. So my boss, the professor that I work for, Dr. Matthew J. Potoff, he started working on this project at UT Southwestern, where he worked on FGF21, where it's the past few years it's gotten a lot of attention because it has a lot of potential in reducing weight loss in humans and also increasing insulin sensitivity. So it's gotten a lot of attention from that aspect. And so what he was looking at was that when mice were on a high-fat diet and they were administered FGF21 or they just overproduced FGF21, they would lose weight and, you know, have increased insulin sensitivity. So we wanted to see what would that would look like if they were on a high-carb diet. And what we saw was that these mice that were either administered FGF21 or were overproducing it, they just would not touch the high-carb diet at all. So that struck us as very weird that, you know, these mice that, you know, given a lean diet or a high-fat diet, they would eat it just normally. But when you gave them a high-carb diet, something that was really sweet, full of sucrose, fructose, then they just wouldn't touch it at all. So it seemed that they had almost an aversion to it.
It really does come down to that it affects the desire to eat sugars.
Right. So, we think it's acting as a satiety hormone, basically
right.
Saying that, okay, you've had enough sugar. So, you know, it's not necessarily saying you're full, but, you know, it's saying that you've had enough sugar, so, you know, maybe go eat something else like protein or fat as well to supplement the rest of your diet so that you're not just eating this one nutrient.
Now, fibroblast growth factor 21 or FGF 21 is produced by the liver in the presence of sugary carbohydrate consumption. So,
right, so that was one of the experiments we've done, and we've seen that in both humans and our mouse models, that when they've been given either sucrose, fructose, just a high amount of sugar, that their liver will start to produce FGF21 and begin circulating throughout the body. Now, however, that it is not the same for if it's an artificial sweetener like saccharin. We do not see that same effect.
Okay, now, like so many things that affect satiety and hunger, does the body become desensitized to high levels of FGF21? So if someone overconsumes sugars, does it not have, it obviously doesn't have the same effect. It doesn't shut off the desire to eat more sugar.
Right. So if we have seen FGF21 resistance in an obesity model in its sense of in FGF21's ability to enhance the insulin uptake of sugar, however, we haven't necessarily seen its effect so far in a resistance for the sweet preference, but there have been some interesting studies that have shown that there are humans that have genetic defects in their genes that produce FGF21, and these studies have also shown that these genetic defects were highly positively correlated with increased carbohydrate intake. So we think there's some portion of humans that do not produce it normally, and they're consuming more sugar than they should, mainly because we think that since this hormone isn't being produced normally, their body can't naturally sense whether or not they've had too much sugar, and so they lose that sense of balance and getting variety in their diet.
Now, some of the fibroblast growth factors have been experimented with. For other reasons. There's about 22 that make up this FGF family, and they seem to have pleiotropic effects. The my earliest stumbling upon FGF family of hormones was when I was doing some research into Parkinson's disease. I found out that FGF2 is responsible for both neuronal neurogenesis and angiogenesis in the substantia nigra and other parts of the brain. So what does this tell us from an evolutionary perspective about the role of sugars in our diet and some of these other effects of causing new neuronal sprouting and new blood vessels to be formed, which are driven also by this family of hormones?
Well, so the entire family of FGFs, they're pretty diverse. So most of them act as an endocrine or autocrine or paracrine fashion, meaning that they basically are secreted and they don't go into the entire circulation. They just act locally in the body, whereas FGF 21, 19, and 23, those seem to have more of a metabolic effect. So we have seen that this whole family of FGFs have very diverse functions, but these three in particular, 19, 21, and 23, seem to have the most effect on our metabolism. And so from an evolutionary standpoint, because this hormone, we find it in mice, we find it in different mammals and humans as well, so what it can tell us is that there, at some point along our evolutionary development, there was a need to have more balance in our diet, so not just eating a particular type of nutrient, whereas at one point in a human's development, they probably had to have more carbohydrate, but now they need to diversify more and more and gain more nutrients so that they can, metabolize it to the most efficient effect.
So would it be realistic to think that we could see FGF21 in an intranasal spray at some point in time where those who are trying to use it for weight loss, they could use it to curb their desire for sweets and sugars?
Well, in terms of an administration, it might be a little bit more difficult because it is a protein. So for a protein to work, it has to be administered through injections usually, because if you ingest it or through any other way, it's more likely to degrade. So it's most likely going to be through an injection. In terms of being used as a drug to modify your diet, I think we're quite a ways away from that, but I do definitely think that's a possibility in the future. You know, this is the first hormone that's been discovered that targets a specific macronutrient rather than just entire diet overall or entire fullness. So, you know, there is definitely a new area of research that's going to be opening up from this finding, and that we can look for other factors or hormones produced in the body that can say whether or not you've had enough protein, whether or not you've had fat, or maybe even other hormones that say, you know, you've had enough sweets as well that act along with FGF21.
Well, and the reason I said intranasal is because I would have to imagine, and please, you know, correct me here, but like so many of the satiety and hunger hormones, cholecystokinin, leptin, and so on, while they're produced peripherally or even in some specific organ systems, they act on the brain in order to curb appetite or increase appetite. So I would have to believe that FGF21 is similar to that. Does it? It's produced in the liver, but the habit of desiring sugar is altered when it reaches the brain, right?
Right. So, yeah, one of our findings was looking at certain regions of the brain, and we found that it acted mainly in the paraventricular nucleus of the hypothalamus to induce its suppression of sweet intake. And so it could be a possibility that it would work as a nasal spray, but, you know, it could also easily be administered
through injection.
You know, through injection. But, yeah, I could definitely see that. It would take probably a little bit more work on the pharmaceutical side of trying to get it more stable so that it could actually be injected. And one difficult thing is we're not really sure how this protein is passing the blood-brain barrier.
Right.
So that would definitely be a large challenge on the pharmaceutical side. But, yeah, I could definitely see that being a route that's taken in the future.
Now, this is a protein peptide. Quite often these are folded protein peptides. They are a specific sequence of amino acids. How long of a chain of amino acids is FGF21?
So FGF21 is about 280 amino acids.
Bang,
so
that's big. That's really big.
Yeah, and it has quite a bit of size. So that's one major question is we're not sure exactly how it's being, how it's entering into the brain circulation, because you can inject it through the abdominal wall of the intraperitoneum of the mouse and it'll somehow get to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not sure exactly how it's passing through the brain, brain-blood barrier, but we do know that it's having an effect and that it's getting there. We've seen it in our reports and in other reports that it's somehow getting through there and it's mediating its effect.
I want to go ahead and take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, I want to talk more specifically about your research. We're talking right now with Lucas Bondurant. We're talking about a protein peptide hormone produced by the liver that can actually regulate your desire for sugar. Think about that. We're going to talk about this and more when we come back. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential. Madebyhemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at madebyhemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to madebyhemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. Madebyhemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the NGDO healthy deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
The category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, "I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered 2 more bottles." And another, "The overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used." Visit CoachRobRegish.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
DJ Hero.
Welcome back. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about cancer, diet, cancer therapies, in light of the passing of David Bowie. And you can't ignore the role of sugar, insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, metabolic diseases that occur when you talk about cancer, quite frankly. Dr. Otto Warburg won the Nobel Peace Prize for discovering how cancer loves to gobble up blood sugar. We're talking right now with Lucas Bondurant from University of Iowa about a research paper that identifies a specific protein peptide produced by the liver that seems to have an effect on how much sugar you crave. So, in the research you discovered, and as you alluded to a little earlier in the discussion, that FGF21 does not affect all sugars equally, correct?
Right. So, it seems to directly be produced directly in response to natural sugars such as sucrose or fructose, and it has an even stronger effect when it's something like sucrose, which is a disaccharide. You get more FGF21 produced. However, if you have an artificial sweetener such as saccharin, you get no production of FGF21, so there is no inhibition of that sweet preference. However, if it's a more complex carbohydrate, then you do not see this effect. So it seems to be specifically simple, sweet, simple carbohydrates.
So obviously, like dextrose would have a huge effect on FGF21, correct?
Right. So in both our culture models and then also our mouse models, we saw that when we gave the mice a choice between glucose or dextrose, we saw that they would prefer that. However, when we were given, they were administered FGF21, then they would lose that preference for the sweets. And part of that was whether or not we injected them. It could be just from them drinking dextrose, because we would dissolve it in water. If they were drinking it, after a while, they would stop drinking it, mainly because their FGF21 levels began to rise and told them, okay, you've had enough sweets, right, so you need to stop drinking this.
And obviously, fructose, which seems to hit the bloodstream a little slower, would probably have less of a response of FGF21 based on that, or am I incorrect?
So it still has an effect. It seems to be more not so much on affected by how quickly it's absorbed into the gut or into the liver, but it's mainly depends on like what the actual chemical structure of it is rather than how quickly it's absorbed. However, there could definitely be an effect where if you are absorbing sweets slower, you might not get FGF21 produced as quickly.
Right.
But we do see some of the strongest effects in glucose and sucrose.
And obviously, complex carbohydrates and vegetables, even though they're considered carbohydrates, while they have very low content of sugar, they have, like for instance, sweet potatoes have a lot more amylopectin than amylose, so they don't seem to stimulate as much of a response from FGF21 we would expect, right?
Right, and that could be because they're just being degraded quicker, or a lot slower, I mean.
Got it. Okay, so how does diet play a role in this? So we know that, you know, as a person, a former 330-pound obese, very sick individual, when I changed, I had to force myself to change the way I ate. And when you force yourself to change the way you eat long enough, your desire and your palate changes. Things that you wouldn't have thought was sweet in the past seem to be sweet now. So what role does diet play on the regulation and production of FGF21?
So it seems that if someone, or in our case when we are studying FGF21 mice, if they were on a lean diet, we wouldn't really see production of FGF21. So for us, it seems that FGF21 is a marker of, you know, basically an unbalanced diet. We also see FGF21 levels go up when there's a protein restriction. So it seems to be that there are these regulators coming from the liver alerting your body that there is an unbalance in what you're eating and that you need to change your habits in eating and your diet to reestablish homeostasis in your body.
Now, wait a minute. So FGF21 also is affected by protein consumption. Could that be because it's a lot easier to stimulate someone to desire sweets and you would also, in a lot of cases, in some cases maybe, get some protein along with those sweets? It's obviously not affecting your desire for protein, right?
Right. It seems to be mainly affecting your consumption of sweets. So it could be that. It could be that it's, you know, trying to alter your diet so that you can maintain a balance, basically.
And obviously, protein, if you're eating a very high-protein diet devoid of sweets, the body has the ability through gluconeogenesis to produce glucose. So it could simply be that FGF21, its primary job is to make sure that there is adequate donor for blood sugar. And if it's not sugar itself, it could be protein.
Right. That could be a possibility. And we also see that during starvation, FGF21 levels go up as well. And we think that is mainly so that when someone or a mouse is being starved and then they start refeeding again, they don't overdo it and their blood levels don't go out of control. So we think it's overall acting as a nutritional regulator.
And so while we say that insulin, you know, there's lots of discussion out there. You know, we've never had the amount of sugar in our diet from an ancestral standpoint, from an evolutionary standpoint that we have in modern times, which is true. There was an estimate the other day that the average 5-year-old eats his or her weight in sugar every year, which is shocking to me. Insulin, obviously, its job is to clear sugar out of the bloodstream. It sounds like FGF21 would be the yin to insulin's yang.
Well, it you know, there definitely is, you know, a problem with, you know, carbohydrate intake. And so we think that, you know, maybe a long time ago, FGF21 might not have played a significant role. But now that we have a Western diet where people are consuming, you know, a lot higher amounts of carbohydrates, specifically simple sweets, you know, FGF21 is becoming a lot more important.
Right.
We think that, you know, maybe from an evolutionary standpoint, you know, FGF21 could have acted to help, you know, our ancestors diversify their diet, you know, because maybe having a little, you know, sweets was good to get mm-hmm. quicker energy, but then for the long-term storage, your FGF21 might be produced to tell you, okay, now you should eat some fat, eat some protein so that, you know, you can store up, bulk up more. There's also a possibility that having a diverse diet was safer because you would eat less of maybe a fruit that was a tiny bit poisonous, and so that, you know, if you were eating a fruit that might not be very, that could be possibly toxic on high levels, mm-hmm. you would only eat a small amount of it, and then you would go on to eat something else because your FGF21 was telling you, all right, now it's time to eat something different as well.
One last question, then I'm going to ask you to summarize what you hope clinicians and lay people take away from this research. But fibroblast growth factors are downstream metabolites of human growth hormone. Do you think that as growth hormone becomes less available as we age, that its direct metabolites, like FGF, they alter to protect us as we age and influence our consumption of energy to somehow position us at the best possible way as we age for a possible famine and or tough times?
That's a really interesting question. As terms of, you know, affecting, you know, your ability to cope with, you know, aging and other hardships, I think FGF21 definitely, and the other two metabolic hormones, FGF23 and 19, play very important roles in, you know, your ability to cope to changing, you know, nutrient levels specifically. So these three hormones seem to be the most important, I think, for, you know, changing your diet, your lifestyle, and as you age and go through different experiences, they're going to be playing a more important role. And if there's a population out there that do not produce these hormones naturally or as well as most people do, then they might not be, you know, as, you know, equipped to handle this naturally, whereas some people are.
Right, right. So in summary, what would you hope that both clinicians and lay people take away from this most recent research of yours?
So I think one of the most important take-home points is that, you know, we have these hormones that are being produced from our liver that are, you know, this particular one, FGF21, that's telling us, you know, you've had enough sugar. And I think there are other hormones out there as well that are telling you whether or not you've had enough protein or fat. And so I think we're really just scratching the surface of discovering other nutrient sensing signals in our body that tell us naturally how to diversify our diet. And since there are populations of people out there that might not be producing these hormones as well, this could definitely be opening up a new area of research, both in terms of pharmaceuticals and then also in terms of gene therapy, where you would have someone sit down with a gene therapist, and tell them, okay, your body might not be producing this hormone naturally, so you might not naturally know when you've had enough sweets, or you might not be able to tell when you've been eating enough salty foods or protein or fat. So this is opening up a new area of research, both in terms of just helping people control their diet and also prescribing drugs for them as well.
Lucas Bondurant, thank you so much for being on Superhuman Radio today.
All right, thank you for having me here.
Take care. We're going to take one quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Brooks Kubik, and we're just going to kind of endeavor a discussion about cancer therapies today in light of the passing of David Bowie. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
From the makers of GE.
DLC 2000 now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage, promote joint mobility and flexibility, replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
Michael's naturopathic programs feature synergistically complete targeted formulas that utilize the healing power of nature, nourish the specific systems, treat the whole person, and do no harm. They are designed to give results, like Michael's popular Adrenal Extra, known as Energy Support, which is ideal for people with stressful lifestyles. It contains nutrients that support energy processes in the body, complemented with herbs. Michael's naturopathic programs are available at local health food stores or on the web at michaelshealth.com.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
See, there was Ashley. She caught my eyes the very second as she passed me.
Welcome back.
I kissed her once, then she started to harass me.
So David Bowie passed yesterday. Apparently after an 18-month fight against cancer that he kept hidden from his fans. And I find the British people are just so dignified. It's just amazing to me. He didn't exploit it, but he did produce an album, I guess, that's going to be released discussing. The album will discuss his fight with cancer. And when I heard that he passed, I was so sad because he had such an impact on me through his music as I was growing up. And I had to wonder, you know, what role did his lifestyle play in the development of cancer? We think of everything from a genetic standpoint. So I figured I would have someone to discuss this aspect of it, Brooks Kubik. How you doing, Brooks?
I'm well, Carl. How are you today?
Good, good. And from an ancestral standpoint, from a physical culture standpoint, from a lifestyle standpoint, but not from a genetic standpoint, because I am so tired of genetics being blamed for everything. And I just want to start this discussion off with this analogy. And if you've ever heard me say it before, I think I may have said it one other time on a show. Maybe it was with Brooks present. I don't know. We look at everything from a genetic perspective. We say, oh, you know, your genetics predispose you to this. Like as though it's all about our genes. Like we have no control over it. And that somehow we are born defective, genetically defective. And the analogy that I've started using is this. If you jumped into the ocean, went down as far as you could, opened your mouth, and took as big of a breath underwater as possible, and then your dead body floated to the surface, and someone pulled you out of the ocean, and they looked at you and they said, huh, he's dead. And then a doctor walked up and said, yes, he was genetically predisposed not to be able to breathe water. You would think to yourself, this is ridiculous. We don't breathe water. So blaming it on our genetics because a fish can breathe water, but we can't, is just idiocy. We are genetically perfect. Our environment is the problem. Our lifestyles are the problem. Just like it wasn't your genetics that made you drown. It was the water. You didn't belong in the water trying to breathe it. You don't belong in a world where you're eating chemicals, being sprayed with chemicals, breathing in poisons, not sleeping. So this whole genetic thing, we've got to stop pointing at genetics, and we have to stop trying to find genetics to correct crappy lifestyles and bad eating habits and bad decisions. Okay, what do you think about that, Brooks?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, there's certainly a lot of research that's being done addressing the genetic issues, and, you know, it's probably important research, if only to determine, you know, if there is or is not a genetic component, or what role, if any, genetics play in the development of cancer. But, you know, one thing that stands out to me in the whole discussion, and by the whole discussion, what I mean is, you know, the burning medical question, what causes cancer and what, if anything, can we do to try to avoid or prevent cancer or at least to reduce or minimize the risk of contracting cancer? And one thing that has struck me is just incredibly important and now largely forgotten or overlooked is this. We've talked on the show before about a French physician named Stanislas Tanchu,
mm-hmm.
T-A-N-C-H-O-U, and I'm probably butchering the pronunciation.
Right.
Lived a long time ago. He served with Napoleon at the Battle of Waterloo. So, you know, he was in the French army in 1812 as a physician. Later in life, He was a prominent physician in Paris, and he gave a series of lectures in the 1830s or 1840s, so long time ago, you know, almost 200 years ago. What he discovered in looking at death registries was that cancer was much more prevalent, much more common in cities like Paris and other cities in Europe than in rural areas. And he coined the phrase diseases of civilization, and he came up with the theory that as a particular part of the world, for example, a rural part of Europe, becomes more and more civilized, cancer follows. And it follows fairly quickly, and he
came up with some, you know, some correlations here where, you know, the greater the degree of civilization, the greater the frequency of cancer. Well, this led, you know, remember, he's coming up with this theory in the 1840s, which is the age of imperialism, the age of exploration, of adventure, the age that European countries are sending physicians and doctors and surgeons and missionaries all around the world. And they are encountering what they would call uncivilized people, and they're providing medical care and treatment for them. They are, in effect, studying them, and their opportunity to do so was an opportunity that was once in the history of the human race, because after civilization came and took over, almost by definition, you no longer had uncivilized peoples to study. And all of the what they called frontier doctors and physicians, explorers, ship's doctors, ship's surgeons, they all knew about this, and they all wanted to be the person that disproved Tan Chiao's theory. So everywhere they went, whether it was with the Inuit, with Native American tribes, anywhere in North America, in Africa, in Asia, in the South Sea Islands, everywhere that they went, these physicians were looking very hard to try to find cases of cancer that occurred in what they called uncivilized peoples. And remember, the person who found a whole lot of cancer and disproved the theory would be able to write it up, he'd be able to come home and present it to the leading medical journals and societies, and basically
be famous.
He'd be famous, yeah. Yeah. You know, because we're talking about Stanley and Livingston.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the sort of the mindset. And Albert Schweitzer was one of these. I mean, I'm not talking about, you know, people of low education or little intellect or low integrity. Albert Schweitzer started out as what would be called a frontier doctor.
Right.
And he was one of the people who looked and looked and looked for cancer and famously wrote that in the African people that he had treated for so many years, there was hardly any incidence of cancer as long as they were living a traditional lifestyle and following a traditional diet. And Carl, long story short, that's what every medical doctor, medical professional, any sort, that's what everybody found. The records were conclusive that in a quote, uncivilized race, cancer was almost non-existent. And the other thing that they found, very sadly, was that as civilization came in and the lifestyle changed and the diet changed and they began following what they termed a European a European lifestyle and a European diet.
The Enlightenment. How unenlightened
what happened was they started to have cancer and a whole host of diseases. And it happened in a period of about one generation, 20 years. So that says to me, and that's something that people very well developed over a period of about 100 years, 1840, 1930, 1940, and this was very well established. That says to me, okay, I understand we have all these wonderful diagnostic tools. We can study genetic issues. We can study all sorts of things. You know, we can come up with all kinds of theories about what causes or doesn't cause cancer, and we can do all kinds of wonderful work. But you've got to go back and ask yourself, if it is a fact that cancer is a disease of civilization and it follows civilization, if that is a fact, as the men and women that I've described established, then any theory in order to, you know, in order for a theory to be, to me, accepted as credible, it has to take that fact into account, and it has to explain it. And it has to explain it in a way that is meaningful. And to me, that takes us right back to the issues of ancestral lifestyle and ancestral diet.
And physical culture, because remember, activity was part of that. You know, there was a study just released this week that shows that healthy aging and longevity is associated in women with the more children they have. And you know what they concluded the reason for that was? Because they stayed active later into life. They had young children to raise later into life. They were more active than women who had fewer children. So activity plays a big role here.
Activity plays a huge role, and civilization, the advance of civilization has caused people to do, not to do less work, but to be less active.
Yes. I mean, there,
to do
every menial task, there's now a device for it, an app for it. I mean, Ronco and Popeil, Pocket Fisher, I mean, everything. We're always looking for, I think Dr. Lieberman, when he was on the show one time, and he said, look, if you had two coconut trees in the forest and you had primitive people and one of them had an escalator and one they had to climb, they'll take the escalator because it's part of our genetic makeup to conserve energy because energy was so hard to come by. 80% of our day was consumed, no pun intended, by finding things to consume. So, you know, I mean, it's part. So when you realize that part of our genetic makeup is actually what's going to shorten our lives in today's modern world, remember, you don't go to the doctor and go, hey, doc, I want to be able to take a bullet and not die. Can you do some sort of gene therapy? The doc say, no, you idiot, just don't get shot. But we don't look at cancer that way. We don't look at most modern diseases that way. We say, oh, no, we're going to help change your genes so you can be a jerk and live a jerky life and not get a disease. To me, this is the epitome of nonsense the way we're living today. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
Best in real world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information. Read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
No.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors. A naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms. So sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in two great tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation.
Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Brooks Kubik. Later in the show, Andrew Scarborough is going to join us from the UK to talk about metabolic therapies and breakthroughs that are happening in the world of cancer. Because I can't help but when I heard that David Bowie died at 69, and I know he didn't have a big impact on you because you were a wrestler, a power lifter, and really that was the focus of your youth. I, on the other hand, was one of those guys who was partying and dancing and listening to the music of the time, and he had a big impact on me, David Bowie. And when I heard he died at 69, I couldn't help but think, you know, someone didn't give him good information. He deserved better information than he got.
You know, here's an interesting point. I believe David Bowie was a smoker. Is that correct?
Ah, I didn't know that.
I took a quick look before the show, and I found that. I don't know if it's true or not, but that made me think of this. How recently was it that doctors and physicians and the medical profession were touting the smoking of cigarettes?
In the 50s, when you and I were born.
Okay, you know, so it wasn't that long ago. How long did tobacco companies fight the disclosure of that information? Fairly long time.
Yeah.
How long has it been since people have really accepted that smoking is bad for you, and guess what? Smoking causes lung cancer.
I mean, I would say that at least since the 70s, it really became, I want to say that it was really taken seriously in the 70s. In the 60s and the 50s, not so much. There were people who were starting to connect the dots that people who smoked died of lung cancer more often and other illnesses, but it wasn't until the 70s.
Yeah.
So it was 20 to 30 years that the medical orthodoxy was didn't lose their effect on saying it was safe.
Exactly. And, you know, so it was basically in our lifetime, there's been a complete sea change going from, you know, the advertisements that say 4 out of 5 doctors surveyed, you know,
smoke camels
or, you know, whatever, you know, to...
And recommend them to their patients. They used to tell you that smoke a cigarette, it calms the nerves.
Exactly.
I mean, it's disgusting.
It's incredible. And, okay, so you've got all, you know, you've got a period of 50 years where, or less, where there was just an enormous change and a recognition that here's something that we are doing to ourselves that is causing cancer.
Now, imagine if someone went to a doctor and said, hey, doc, do you have something, a drug that will alter my genetics so I can continue smoking? What would the doctor say?
Well, the doctor would say one of two things. The doctor would either say, well, I'm not aware of anything, or he might say, you're crazy.
Stop smoking.
Or he might say whatever he wanted to say, and then that evening call a buddy who works for a biotech company and say, hey, I've got a great idea.
Yeah,
you know,
you're right. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, you know, the great idea. I mean, can you imagine how much money someone would make if they came up with some hugely expensive process or drug that allowed people to alter their genes so they could smoke tobacco?
Yes.
Right?
That's amazing.
You know, the same approach governs so much modern medicine. You know, it's... We're going to come up with something that, even though you're diabetic, is going to allow you to eat all the chocolate cake you want.
Right.
Which is insanity.
You know, if the pharmaceutical industry and medical orthodoxy really cared about people, this would not be their approach. No one, but you're giving, it's almost like a parent who gives their 6, 7, and 8-year-old child who throws tantrums when they don't get what they want, everything that they want. You'd look at that parent and you'd go, you're a horrible parent. You need to. You can't just cave in and let your kids stay home from school every day because they don't want to. Let them stay up until 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because they want to. Let them eat candy and cookies and cake. Well, you look at that person and say, you're a horrible, horrible human being. You're abusing that child. We have to take your child away. But that's exactly what modern medicine does in 80% to 90% of the cases. They find ways to give people something that masks a symptom that is occurring because they have a bad lifestyle, make bad choices, and do stupid things to themselves.
One of the really interesting things, people ought to keep this in mind because it happened not long ago. When Dr. Atkins came out with the first edition of Dr. Atkins, the Dr. Atkins diet book, The Atkins Diet, one of the things that was very common was prescribing amphetamines or diet pills.
I remember them.
So that people could eat as much as they wanted and still lose weight.
Right.
And Atkins was very much against that. He talks in the first edition about how dangerous the diet pills are and how they should not be used and how the answer is a change in your diet. Okay? For which he was flogged
right
by the medical community. Now, is there a little bit of they're jumping on him because they don't like his diet? Or is there also a little bit of they're jumping on him because, guess what?
They want to prescribe those drugs.
They want to prescribe those drugs.
They want to continue.
He was threatening the establishment.
When I was 18 years old, I went to a doctor. I didn't have a weight problem. It was very common. A friend of mine said, because we used to use amphetamines when we were in our teens. It was very popular. It was a very popular recreational drug. But instead of having to find them through illegal sources, there were doctors out there, the same type of doctors that prescribe pain meds today.
Mm-hmm.
They used to, you'd go in, you'd say, I want to lose some weight. He'd write you a prescription for some a very mild amphetamine. You'd take 5 of them at a time, and you'd be buzzed.
Wow.
And they knew. No one counseled me. He didn't say, well, you don't look like you have to lose much weight. You don't need to be on a diet. Why don't you just change your way? None of that. I just said, look, I want to lose some weight. And he wrote me a prescription. I paid the visit. I went and got the prescription filled at the pharmacy. And I kept getting the prescription filled probably for about 3 or 4 months until I just, like, it was boring. I got tired of it and I stopped.
Wow.
So you're right. They were the pill mills of yesteryear, those guys. It's sad. I feel bad for people today who have cancer. And I'll tell you why. Because their average physician is going to try to scare the bejeebers out of them. You need chemo. You need radiation. You need to do these things here. And quite frankly, will tell them all of those other things don't work. No, you can't control this by diet. And those poor people are not being given the full facts so that they can make an intelligent decision. That's what makes me the saddest. That's what makes me the saddest. That they're not giving all the facts to these people who, it's like a double sin. There's got to be a special hell for anybody who covers up facts that could actually potentially allow someone to live longer. Isn't that murder?
Well, I don't know if it's murder, but it's certainly something that that deserves a special hell, put it that way.
Yeah. It's very sad. And I'm sorry that David Bowie is gone. And it makes me sad. It also punctuates the fact that I'm getting older, too, quite frankly. I want all my friends to live longer so that we can all be together longer. So that's it.
You know, the death of an icon always makes us feel that and feel that way. And there are people around the world who are questioning their own mortality simply because of his death.
Yes, but that's a good thing. Question your mortality
thing.
And start questioning the facts. Brooks, thanks for being on today.
Sure thing.
Talk
take
soon.
Care, Carl.
All right. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by Andrew Scarborough to actually get down into the nitty-gritty of what therapeutic, metabolic therapeutics there are out there related to dealing with cancer. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you're a fitness athlete, busy professional, or just looking for a better way to eat hot meals on the run, you need to hop over to HotLogicMini.com right now and check out the coolest portable mini oven on the planet. It's about the size of a lunchbox. It cooks, reheats, and keeps food hot all day without overcooking or drying it out. Plug it in and forget it. There are no buttons or dials or timers to worry about. It's genius. Eat a hot meal anywhere you go. Work, car, hotel room, anywhere. Get over to HotLogicMini.com right now to save 20% off the regular price with coupon code SHR. That's HotLogicMini.com and coupon code SHR.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
If you take curcumin, you need to pay attention. The best curcumin on earth is metacurcumin. Metacurcumin is up to 277 times more bioavailable and absorbs over 6 times faster than standard curcumin supplements. Metacurcumin even outperforms those supposedly high-performance curcumin products. There's only one metacurcumin by Rev Genetics. You could save 20% off metacurcumin by clicking the banner ad at superhumanradio.com and use superhuman curcumin at checkout. If you want to help stop inflammation in its tracks, you need metacurcumin by Rev Genetics today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Tomorrow never comes until it's
today. Welcome back. You know, I could pontificate about cancer all day long, but it means nothing because I've never had to live through the fear of actually dealing with it. My next guest is a man who many of you know if you listen to the show regularly. He's Andrew Scarborough from the UK. How you doing, Andrew? Andrew, are you there? Okay. Well, let me see what's going on here. Sound has gone. Yes, because I turned off the audio, but are you muted, Andrew? By any chance, are you muted? You should be able to hear me. Huh. This is odd. Okay, let's try something else. Andrew, can you hear me? He's typing. I love modern technology. Let's see what's going on. Sound is gone. Let me try disconnecting and reconnecting him. Hold on a second. I can hear you. Can you hear me? No, I can't. There may be a mute button on your end. Let me disconnect and reconnect you and see if it goes away. Andrew, can you hear me? Andrew, type a phone number. I'm going to just run some music for a second, please. Everybody be patient because it's going to be an important discussion.
Tomorrow never comes until it's too
tight.
Tomorrow never comes until it's too late.
anticipation shot. Another shot, another shot. That's in the vessel rushing while the heart is colder than it's hot. Shot, shot, shot. I'm not sure if they can or not. I'm not sure if they want to stop. The gun is colder than it's hot. Shot. Another shot, another shot. That's in the vessel rushing while the heart is colder than it's hot. Shot, 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 shot.
Tomorrow never comes, 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 comes.
Sorry about that, everybody. Andrew Scarborough is on the phone. How you doing, Andrew?
Hi, I'm really good, thanks. Sorry about the technology problem.
No,
it's,
it happens.
It's not always reliable.
This is why no one likes to do live radio but me, Andrew. Okay, so as I was saying as we were coming into this segment, you know, we could all pontificate about how we would deal with the possibility of living through a cancer or tumor. And it means nothing if you've never lived through it. You've never done it. You've been on the show a couple times now. You actually reversed the growth of a brain tumor. And that process has led you to a journey that you're embarking on affecting other people's cancer prognosis. You are now working with – what medical facility are you working with there in the UK? Is it Charing Cross? What is it again?
It's Charing Cross Hospital. That's and the research facility is at Imperial College London. So they work together. And the charity that funds this is called Brain Tumor Research. And – They're unique because they are one of the few cancer charities that actually puts most of their focus into metabolic therapy. And a lot of the reason behind that is just because with brain cancer in particular, it's a very difficult kind of cancer to treat any other way. So it's 100 years behind other cancers in terms of research, so they're just thinking, well, okay, we've had no progress in all those years, and the standard treatments are just, they're a bit less toxic than they used to be, but the responses are still dismal.
Let's be clear why that is. Okay, the body is a perfect thing. The body protects the brain at all costs. So the body is able to sequester poisons from getting to the brain, and the brain is able to resume normal function even when ionizing radiation is being blasted at it. So, you know, the brain is designed to avoid the type of insult that is used to cure cancer today. It's an insult. What they do to cure cancer today, in most cancer states, is to poison the entire body to a degree where the cancer itself should die, but so does a lot of the normal functioning body. The analogy that I've given in the past is true. Modern cancer treatment using chemotherapies and ionizing radiation is tantamount to burning down the entire house in order to get rid of a stain on your carpet. And nutritional therapies are exactly the opposite, and they, to our knowledge, they do no harm to the healthy body. They only affect the cancer. So this is monumental that this hospital in the UK and this charity in the UK is looking at treating cancer from a completely different position than, oh, it's all genetics, which frustrates the hell out of me, because as we just talked about with Brooks Kubik, you having a genetic predisposition to developing cancer is like saying, oh, you've got a predisposition to dying when you're shot in the chest with a bullet. No, you shouldn't be shot in the chest with a bullet, and you shouldn't be living the lifestyle, exposing yourself to the chemicals and the things that end up causing cancer. But unfortunately, governments don't protect people anymore from that aspect, because commerce has to make money. So let's talk about what they're doing over there. What are some of the things that that group and you are working on that are having great effects on treating cancer today that don't poison the body?
It's very early stages at the moment, so we're just looking at, we're mainly looking at it in terms of what we can do with clinical trials in both patients with aggressive brain tumors, where annoyingly for me, they have to have it with radiation and chemotherapy, and in the worst case scenarios, but also we're doing work with an organization called the Astro Brain Tumor Fund, and that is for lower grade tumors. So the standard treatment for a lower grade brain, a lower grade astrocytoma brain tumor that can't be operated on is to just, it's called a watch and wait strategy.
Right.
So you just watch and wait, and then when it grows, you just, so the only option you have is chemotherapy and radiotherapy. So at the moment, we're monitoring patients with these lower grade tumors, and they're being put on ketogenic diets to see what effect that has on these slower growing brain tumors, because the kind of tumor that I had was a very fast growing one, but these ones are slower growing, so you actually have more time to see the effect of the diet. And I think I'm struggling at the moment to try and get clinical trials with these lower grade tumors, so it's more just observations where they're not really being monitored properly. So what I'm doing myself is I'm collecting the data myself, and I have to call it observations rather than clinical trials, or I get into trouble. So I'm observing them and their medical notes and taking note of everything they do. But the main problem we have is compliance. So you still get people who are not able to follow it strictly enough, or they want to have all these carb replacements and sweeteners and just not doing it in the optimal way. So it's good that they're doing something, but we know that with just a standard ketogenic diet, you will only get a partial response. So,
so
I do think we need to optimize these ketogenic diets.
Are there any observations that you are seeing in people who are very strict about following the therapeutic ketogenic diet, and what have you seen in this, you know, these N equals one type scenarios?
Yeah, well, it's very interesting. There's been a few patients who we've monitored who, before they have surgery, their tumors, when they're on the ketogenic diet, are actually, they become more circumscribed. So that means that it's easier to see the margins of the tumor, and that actually makes it easier for the surgeon to remove the tumor. It's less vascular, so it's easier to operate on, which that's very useful for, particularly if there's tumors that tend to be quite invasive. They can actually make them easier to operate and easier to get more of the tumor just from following the diet, even in the space of just a couple of months. It's quite remarkable, quite interesting how just the anti-angiogenic effects of the diet for these very vascular tumors. So that's quite encouraging in itself, I'd say.
What about other therapies? Here in the United States, there's lots of research going on about a CBD oil and extract, which is rendered from industrial hemp. It has no psychoactive effects like marijuana does, but it has the cannabidiol molecules that seem to be of interest to some of those studying cancer. Is there any news on the horizon about this particular therapeutic approach?
Not for brain cancer where I am, but where I had my operation, they're doing trials on cancer patients with the Sativex formulation from GW Pharmaceuticals, and that is, I think it's around a 1-to-1 ratio of CBD and THC, so the cannabidiol and the tetrahydrocannabidiol.
Uh-huh.
Easy for me to say, but you know, I mean,
yeah, THC.
The psychoactive and the non-psychoactive.
Yeah, it's CBD and THC, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, and you can kind of play around with those concentrations for the lower grade tumors. So you can have less of the psychoactive compound and more of the CBD, which is a non-psychoactive compound, and you can actually have results from that. But if it's more aggressive, you'd need more of the THC, and that can come with some problems neurologically. So it's a balancing act. You need some of the THC to bind to the proteins in the particularly with glioblastoma, to bind to those cells to tell it to kill them off and that it's a foreign invader. But there's some research going on, but not much. And
okay,
it's all,
when you say the higher THC levels that are required cause some neurological issues, are we talking about people feel incapacitated because they're stoned, or is it causing them to have actual neurological disturbances like motor function issues and stuff like that?
It's causing them to, because they have patients at the very end stages, they're not in a very good state.
I got you. They're already weak. They're so weakened already.
Even if they get a response, which quite remarkably they still do get some response, the patients still expire relatively quickly. So this is because they've had all of the standard treatments, including a drug that I particularly hate called Avastin, which is usually the thing that kills brain cancer patients before the cancer has a chance to.
What type of a drug is that? What is it? How does it work? What's the mechanism?
It's supposed to be anti-angiogenic, so it works on vasculoendothelial growth factor,
right.
Easy for me to say. It's trying to inhibit that, but it actually, what it does is it gives you a pseudo response where it looks like it's working, but then what happens is that actually spreads into the brain and just causes havoc with the blood vessels in the brain, just, you know.
All breakdown. And this is the problem with most cancer therapies today. They're not specific. If they're going to affect vascular endothelial growth factors, they're going to affect them widespread throughout the body. And people have to understand that there is turnover, cellular turnover in blood vessels every single day. And if VEGF is not present, cells die and are not replaced. And you have other vascular issues that can occur in healthy tissue. Just because you're trying to kill this golf ball-sized tissue in the brain by starving it from VEGF, you're starving the entire body. This is why I say the whole growth hormone, growth factor approach to dealing with cancer is flawed. Because it's like you've got a family in a house and you've got a burglar in the house. And so what you decide to do is to cut off the oxygen to the house to kill the burglar, but you also kill the family. I mean, that's not a win-win. That's not how it works. But unfortunately, this is how most cancer therapies function today. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Andrew Scarborough. Stay tuned.
Something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, livon labs.com.
Too much on your mind to fall asleep?
No.
It happens to all of us every now and then. Instead of counting sheep, count Sleep Factors, a naturopathic formulated blend that supports falling asleep naturally. No medicated numbing, no harsh interruptions of your body's natural flow. Sleep Factors work in harmony with your body and its natural rhythms, so sleep just happens naturally. Sleep Factors by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. You can find Sleep Factors and Michael's entire line of body-loving naturopathic formulations at your local health food store or online at michaelshealth.com. Practitioner formulated. Practitioner approved.
MadeByHemp.com sells the highest quality products derived from industrial hemp, raw oils high in CBD, tinctures, and salves. You can also get fashionable apparel made from industrial hemp at MadeByHemp.com. CBD is a constituent of industrial hemp that has no psychoactive properties, but has been shown to provide a variety of health benefits. Go to MadeByHemp.com today and take a look at all of our amazing products. Use the coupon code SHR to save 25% off your entire order. MadeByHemp.com, your one-stop shop for all things hemp on the web.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
From the makers of GLC 2000, now comes Actistatin Pro Athlete. The Actistatin formula gives you all four forms of glucosamine and chondroitin, plus Actistatin's triple patented delivery method to optimize cellular uptake and utilization of glucosamines, chondroitin, ascorbate, and manganese. Regenerate and maintain cartilage. Promote joint mobility and flexibility. Replenish lost collagen. Get 20% off your next order using the coupon code SHR. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the GLC banner ad today. Push the limits. Feel the difference with Actistatin.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Andrew Scarborough about different approaches to dealing with cancer. His specific area of expertise happened to be in brain cancer and tumors because he suffered from a brain tumor that he literally shrunk himself. And we did a show not too long ago about his most recent CT scan where his tumor's gone. And I got to tell you, folks, we talk about this, but if you were looking down the barrel of cancer, would you have the courage to step off the line and take responsibility for reversing your own brain tumor and sticking to it with complete conviction as someone like Andrew Scarborough did. He's a young guy. He had his whole life ahead of him. I mean, to tell your doctor they're wrong, or better yet, to ignore your doctor and go on down that path yourself, that takes an amazing amount of courage. I don't think people appreciate that about this young man's journey. You know, we sit here and we revel in the fact that it worked. So what we can learn from people like Andrew Scarborough, as I said earlier in the show, is it's so important to have all the information when making these decisions, and any physician who withholds information is a murderer. I don't care if you don't believe in it. Let the patient know. The patient should at least have the right to make their own decisions based on all the information. If they make the wrong decision, so be it. But if they make the right decision, it's even better. Okay, so Andrew, talk about glycolytic cancer types and the importance that diet plays in these types of cancers. Not all cancers are glycolytic, right?
Yeah, that's correct. Some cancers even prefer to use glutamine as the primary fuel source. So they typically can either use glucose or glutamine as the preferential fuel source, but usually it's either a combination of the two or just more in favor of one or the other. So in my case, I knew that my tumor would likely respond very well to particularly cutting down on carbohydrates, because my tumor was glowing quite a lot on scans, so it was very glowy and showy, I like to say. So that indicated that it was most likely taking up a lot, fermenting a lot of glucose for fuel to survive. So, yeah, that encouraged me. And interestingly, now kind of going off on a tangent, I have had exercise as a seizure trigger for a long time, but this month it shows that my brain's even healed since my last scan, because I've started to do a lot more resistance training, and I'm still restricted in calories quite a lot and in protein, but it's interesting how quickly I'm actually gaining strength, and my seizure threshold is lower as I'm getting fitter. So that's really a really interesting development that's happened recently.
And I would suspect this, because resistance training, unlike cardiovascular training, resistance training increases brain growth factors, BDNF and others that are responsible for collateral changes in the brain, keeping the brain healthy, keeping the brain growing. So that makes a lot of sense to me. And
I'm doing very slow controlled reps as well, and low repetition sets, and very quite intense, but really low reps, and it's quite nice to be able to do proper exercise after nearly 3 years without it. It's pretty amazing how muscle memory works. I can do pull-ups again, which I couldn't do for a very long time.
Well, if any of the research on intermittent fasting holds true for those who are keto-adapted, which I have a feeling they do, I have a feeling, you know, the body is very efficient. And what we learned from intermittent fasting and resistance training is that the body increases recycling of amino acids. It becomes very stingy with using amino acids for energy production in the absence of protein in the diet. And I have a feeling the same is true when you are in a keto adapted. And I think that even Dr. Dominic D'Agostino has pointed this out on my show, that even though he's in a state of ketosis, he still trains very hard, very heavy, and he has lost zero muscle while being keto-adapted for literally years now, I think, which tells me that the body becomes very efficient at maintaining and even possibly building muscle in the absence of high protein intake. The body becomes stingy with what it uses amino acids for, and it uses them and recycles them in pools back into muscle to increase the protein synthetic response of muscle in response to exercise. So I have a feeling that you're going to find that you are going to become more muscular, even though you're eating what is considered by any standards today an extremely low protein diet, because you are in a state of ketosis.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what happens when I start my hyperbaric oxygen therapy next week. So I'm actually having a journalist coming in and monitoring me and taking note of what I'm doing. So this is for the New Scientist article that I'm doing on, it's just detailing all of the work that the hospital is doing with ketogenic diets and about the clinical trials coming up, and it's following the protocol that I've used, so it's expanding on that a bit more. So that'll be very exciting. And yeah, that's going to be coming out hopefully next month. So we're just adding a few bits on hyperbaric oxygen therapy to what we already have on restricted ketogenic diets, because I think it's important to note the restriction, because my particular ketogenic diet is mimicking not just fasting, but it's mimicking a long fast. So it's kind of like I'm constantly on, say, a 20-day fast rather than a day or two
right.
fasted. And because I've been doing it for so long, it just feels completely normal. a couple of days a week I have to increase protein just a little bit, just so I can carry on for the length of time that I do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But my range is typically 55 grams of protein to 60. 60 is the most I have. So
in a day?
Every day.
I wouldn't consider that ultra low either. I think that's by American standards, that is exactly what the RDA is for protein for the American diet, believe it or not. But obviously, the consumption of carbohydrates and lots of sugars dwarfs that dramatically, and that's why you don't get the same outcome.
And it also depends on the protein source. So most of that will be oily fish and organ meats that aren't as insulinogenic as, say, some types of red meat are. So,
do you eat eggs, Andrew?
I do eat a lot of eggs, but I always have conflict about eating lots of eggs just because of the high amounts of choline. And even though choline is fantastic for the brain, on MRI spectroscopy, when we're looking at the biomarkers for we look at elevated levels of choline in the brain as an indicator of prediction of brain cancer potentially coming back. But it's hard to tell if that's... I always think it's hard to tell if this is a response, if it's
right.
a cause or effect of anything.
Right.
So personally, I don't think it's an issue, so I do eat lots of eggs. but I do have these thoughts in my head all the time. But we also see, I've written an article about DHA in brain cancer, which lots of people have read and said is very interesting.
Where is it published, Andrew?
I wrote it on my blog, so I don't know if that's possible to share it.
Give your blog address, but also if you send me a copy of it, I'll post it on the Superhuman Radio blog with a link back to yours.
Yeah, great. I guess I write a lot in there, and it's easier to express my thoughts. So I've written a lot about DHA and brain cancer and how in these brain tumors, in and around these brain tumors, and with any neurological disease, we see very low amounts of DHA in the brain. And again, you could say, is it a response or is it a cause? But personally, I believe it is a cause rather than a response.
I agree. So, I agree with you. When the choline one, I feel like you're right. It's wise to question whether it's corollary or causative. But I think that, in my humble opinion, that low levels of the omega-3 fatty acids can cause problems for the brain because we know the brain is so dependent upon them. So I would stand to agree with you that those may lean more towards causative. Can you stay with us for a little bit longer? I want to ask you a couple more questions. I put you in touch with the folks at Quest. Have you had any communication with them so far?
Yes, we had a two-hour chat, which was absolutely fascinating.
Okay. Sit tight. Let's take this break. Can you stay with me through this next break?
Yeah, no problem.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with more of Andrew Scarborough. Stay tuned.
Category killer is back. Mass Pro Synthogen, with results literally from workout one. You'll recover like you're a teenager again. If you've been pouring your heart out in the gym with little to nothing to show for it, you owe it to yourself to see the performance enhancing and cosmetic effects it can make almost immediately. One user said, I wish I could have tried it sooner. I just ordered two more bottles. And another, the overall single best bodybuilding supplement I have personally ever used. Visit CoachRobRegis.com or PredatorNutrition.com to learn more today. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Not all so-called deodorants are the same. Only Goodness Inside deodorant is a multi-benefit deodorant that's not only free of aluminum and toxins, but provides the body with nutrients it needs, like magnesium, pure dead sea salts, minerals, and vitamins.
I am a big fan of Only Goodness Inside, the MGDO Healthy Deodorant. I'm a businesswoman. I have to dress up at work. It goes on smooth, it dries quickly, and it never gets on my clothes.
Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Only Goodness Inside banner ad to save 25% off your order today.
Even for extraordinary people, it's all about motivation. Getting going and focusing is easier said than done. That's why people like you with big goals and bigger dreams are turning to Exact to feel motivation now. Exact delivers the breakthrough mental energy you crave and unleashes your creativity. Exact combines precise levels of 6 ingredients that greatly improves brain power and produces intensity. Many of our customers say Exact brings them instant gratification, making them feel happy, bright, and attentive. We say Exact delivers, guaranteed or your money back. Go to xactmind.com to get your trial pack absolutely free and experience life with the motivation, focus, and drive it takes to realize your potential.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Prime Nutrition is proud to present Max HP, their most scientifically formulated pre-workout supplement to date, now available in 2 great-tasting flavors, Tropic Fruit and Raspberry. Max HP is the most ultra-premium pre-workout available and is made without any artificial colors, flavors, or dye. Increasing blood flow to heighten anabolic activity, Max HP is designed to meet the heightened metabolic needs of high-performance athletes. Visit PrimeNutrition.com and use coupon code SUPERHUMANRADIO to receive 20% off of your entire order. Go to PrimeNutrition.com today. The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. Vitalform has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
It's day and night. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're very fortunate to have Andrew Scarborough as part of this community because exposing the truth, discussions about cancer therapies, it's something you're not going to hear on Dr. Oz. It's something you're not going to hear on the doctors. It's something you're not going to hear on the, you know, evening news. You're not going to hear it. This information is squelched out of the discussion. If you bring it up with most doctors, I'd say 99% of them, they'll tell you that it's absurd, it's risky, it's foolish, even though there's research being done. Even here in the United States, we've talked to scientists who are using the ketogenic diet as a dual therapy along with traditional therapies like chemotherapy and ionizing radiation. And we did a show last year, I think it was maybe the year before, where we had a physician come on who authored a study where they had a fairly large group of people. One group was allowed to eat the way they ate before. The other group was put on a ketogenic diet immediately after their cancer therapy, and the recidivism rate of the cancer, and they all had a variety of cancer, wasn't just one type of cancer, in the ketogenic group was statistically and remarkably so much lower than the group who just went back to eating the way they did before that it warranted the publishing of a study. And I even said to that doctor, you know, do you see using the ketogenic diet as a therapy in and of itself, as opposed to, you know, an adjunct to therapy? And she was very hopeful. She said it's very promising. If we have less aggressive cancers where we have time to reverse them, where the person doesn't need to be quote unquote rescued from a cancer, she hopes that that would be the case someday. But you don't hear about that. You don't hear about that on the news. You don't hear about that. You don't read about it in the newspaper. And that's sad. At the rate of cancer today around the world, and ironically, it follows the rate of diabetes, it's just sad that people aren't getting all the facts. So let's talk a little bit about Quest Nutrition for a second. People think of Quest solely as a company that manufactures bars and high-protein chips and stuff like that, but Ron Pena and Tom Bilyeu over there are dedicated to cancer research, aren't they?
Yes, I didn't know you were talking to me.
Yeah, no, I can go on forever, Andrew. Don't worry about it. Good.
Yeah, I had a chat with their team about what they're doing and what they propose for the future. It's very exciting. They were asking me questions about just what I was doing because they want to start, they currently treat animals with ketogenic diets and hyperbaric oxygen therapy to treat their cancers, and they're looking to start on humans. So, interestingly, when I spoke to them initially, they were saying that at the start they actually wanted to treat humans before the animals, but they found that the main problem was compliance. So,
yeah,
that's why they kind of started with dogs, and then
because dogs can't get up and go to the grocery store and buy their own food. They can't go to the refrigerator and eat what they want.
Yeah,
they have to eat what you give them.
And that's That's why they're so fascinated by me, because I'm kind of like a machine, because I just do what I think is right and just stick to it. I think that's from my athletic background. Just you have goals and you stick to them, and you make sure it's, you know, smart goals, so it's specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timed, and everything's documented and measured, and it's just easier to stick to, I guess, for people who are that way inclined. So we just discussed all of the things that I did, so my paleolithic ketogenic diet, if you want to call it that, where I just eat essentially the whole animal to get all the nutrients that I need, and I make sure I have exactly the same amount of fat every day. Sometimes I go up to 90-95% fat, which is where I am currently in preparation for hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I just told them about optimizing the formula, so
right.
That I make sure I have as close to one to one ratio of omega 3 and 6 in my blood as possible, and so that correlates with what's in my diet, obviously, and just all the things that I do. So that, and also the magnesium, which acts as my medication now. So
how does magnesium play a role in this?
Yeah, so I have magnesium chloride, which has replaced my medication. So I take it the same way I used to take my epilepsy medication.
Oh, really? So for anti-seizure, huh?
Yeah, and I've written a quite long article on that as well, just on my blog, if anyone wants to read it, if you feel like linking your listeners to that.
Yeah, please. What is your blog too? Give the URL to your website.
It's called My Brain Cancer Story, and it would be really useful for anyone who, not just who has neurological disease, but I guess anyone, just for general health. Magnesium in particular is essential. So, but especially with people with diabetes and people with epilepsy, it's found that they have even lower levels of magnesium. So I think we spoke about this last time, just about how it acts as a natural statin and it has many other benefits.
Yeah. But you know what? People need to remember that all of these minerals act in concert. If you're going to watch your magnesium intake, you need to watch potassium, sodium, you need to look at chloride, you need to look at calcium, you need to look at all of them. They should not be elevated by themselves, because imbalances and ratios have as much of a role in some of the problems that deficiencies have. So just pay attention to that. But I agree with you 100%. You just said the word diabetes. What we've learned about diabetes is that high insulin levels affect how these minerals make their way in. It modulates and attenuates lots of these minerals in cell on a cellular level, and especially in the brain. People don't realize the role that these minerals play in the brain. Sex hormones both modulate and attenuate these minerals, and we see a lot of problems in people who have the mineral imbalances developing some of the symptoms associated with these diseases. Now, with that being said, did you happen to see, I think it was last week or the week before, I posted a snapshot of a glucometer reading right before I went and trained one morning?
Yeah, I saw that. It was quite impressive reading.
It was 65, and I said, you know, my fasting blood sugar is, as a rule, is generally between 65 and 72, and I go to the gym with that blood sugar, and I train very, very hard, very heroically. And I'm 57 years old, and I attribute that low blood sugar to the way I eat. And I eat lots of eggs. I eat probably 3 dozen eggs on an average week. I eat lots of beef. I eat lots of chicken. I eat lots of fish. I eat lots of protein. I eat lots of fats. So this notion that someone just posted on my wall, egg consumption increases risk of type 2 diabetes. Maybe in a person who has a bad diet to begin with and is inactive, maybe. But I don't believe that eggs in and of themselves cause diabetes, because clearly I wouldn't be able to maintain. And keep in mind, my A1C is always below 1. Except a couple years ago when I started drinking wine 3 to 4 times a week, probably for the better part of a year, my A1C went to 5.1 or 5.6. And that's another reason why I say alcohol is bad for you. You know, I like to have a drink once in a while. I enjoy the buzz, but I will not lie to myself and say that it's good for you.
Yeah, it just messes up your hormones.
Yeah. I mean, it's nonsense. But
and red wine is only good because of the resveratrol.
If you want the effects of resveratrol, you'd have to drink 100 bottles of red wine a day in order to get the therapeutic doses of resveratrol that have been studied. So it's meaningless. Why lie to yourself and say, oh, I drink wine for the resveratrol? That's like saying I eat horse poop because of the pin oats, the undigested pin oats in it. Really? I mean, you got 2 pin oats and the rest of it's all poop. So your blood sugar runs pretty low too, right? Because you're keto adapted, right?
Yeah, sometimes it goes really low. it's typically around 3. I don't know if you can translate that, or if you you wouldn't have to, because it's, oh no, you would, because it's not keto.
Yeah, no, it's not. The log that you use there in the UK is different than we use here. We use nanograms a deciliter.
Yeah, I don't know why you do that, because it's confusing.
Well, we still use inches and feet here, which are referenced by the length of body parts as opposed to the metric system. You know what I mean? So,
we use stone, which I don't like. So,
But nonetheless, you function very well at that level because you're running on ketones. And I would suspect that people who are that eat a moderate to low carbohydrate diet, train very, very hard, train fasted like some of us do, we probably are able to produce ketones pretty quickly when we need to.
Yeah, and also people underplay the role of intramuscular fat. So we're always told about, you know, get the glycogen up in the muscles, but even though that's very easy to do, even just through gluconeogenesis, even if you don't have carbs, you also use intramuscular fat to make those muscle contractions, and that's largely ignored in exercise physiology.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm glad that you were able to come on today. I'm very sad that we lost a favorite music artist of mine, David Bowie, yesterday, a favorite son of the UK as well, to cancer.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he had cancer.
No one did. And I said that earlier. The people from the UK live such dignified lives. If he was an American, he would have been on Twitter, Facebook, and every place else the entire time he had cancer. You know, it was like.
I know he was a heavy drinker, though. A heavy smoker.
Yes. And I said that during the interview I had with Brooks Kubik. I said, you know, this is nonsense. If you lead a high risk lifestyle and you don't look at what the endpoints of your choices are, you know, these things happen. But it's,
and also if you're not genetically gifted like Keith Richards or Ozzy Osbourne,
isn't he funny?
Where they can do anything and get away with it.
Yeah, I think there's a post that goes around Facebook every now and then. It says every cigarette you smoke, Keith Richards, something about they add another year of life to Keith Richards or something like that. It's pretty funny. But I applaud you. I applaud the fact that you had the courage to do what you did, because you were a beacon of light for other people out there with cancer. And if nothing else, your path is going to make people go, let me make sure I have all the facts before I say yes to this or say yes to that. And if that's, if nothing else, it gets people to question the validity of what they're being told by their doctor.
Yeah, and if they need anything to show their doctor, they can either read my blog or I can send you a link to the New Scientist article. And it's a reputable magazine, so it's pretty hard for medical professionals to argue with that.
Send it to me, but also plug your website one time with the full URL, .com, whatever it is. What is it?
So it's a blog, so it's mybraincancerstory.blogspot.co.uk.
Okay, there you go. Thanks for being on the show with such short notice today, Andrew.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Take care. And that's it for today's show. Hope you enjoyed it. And if you know somebody who is worried about cancer, struggling with cancer, please pass this show along to them. And we'll see everybody tomorrow with more Superhuman Radio.